into our hearts and have your way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. It's nice to be back. There's not a bad seat in the house, is there? This is kind of a little more cozy. Yeah. I hope you're not afraid to sit up close. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful God we serve. I have an unusual message tonight, but our God is unusual, particularly in this last day. I want to speak tonight on the Christ of Christmas. Sounds like a strange title, sounds like it's redundant, it sounds like something that you wouldn't have to say, but nevertheless, the Christ of Christmas. I'd like to read from John chapter 12. Trying not to stand in front of the projector here. Somebody told me I was standing in front of it, so. John chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So there's an order to this. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now we tend to focus on these words that Jesus spoke, and oftentimes we'll read things like this and we'll clue into those words and, oh, those are wonderful words and they're necessary and kind of go into it. But let's look at the setting here for just a moment. They said we would see Jesus. So they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. What kind of a greeting is that? I'd like to read also from the message, Sir, we would see Jesus, page 11, paragraph 1. And it is my heart's desire tonight that in this unusual scripture, and Brother Rand takes this scripture as his text, that we will find the true meaning of Christmas. What Christmas means to us. The way that we should do it. Or how we should approach Christmas. That's a good thought, isn't it? How should we approach Christmas? How many would like to know tonight? Lord, how should we approach Christmas? There's all different kinds of approaches. One approach is to condemn everybody that says the word Christmas. The other approach is to dive in head first, and he who dies with the most toys wins. But somewhere there must be a true meaning of Christmas. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so grateful to be gathered together again in the evening time, Lord, and Father of this season of this where the momentous occasion took place 2,000 years ago when you wrapped yourself in flesh and came down to become one of us. And Lord, as the world is reflecting on Christmas at this time, we pray this evening, Lord, that you would remind us once again what the true meaning of Christmas is. And Lord, that we wouldn't lose sight of it. Father, there are so many things that are good, that are nice, and nothing wrong with them at all. But Lord, we want everything to be put in its right place. And we don't want to lose, most of all, Lord, we don't want to lose the true meaning of Christmas. Father, speak to our hearts tonight as we approach your word once again. Make it real to us, Lord. Make it live. And Father, we surely will give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So just so you know, there is more lighting that's coming. Actually, the lighting is here, but the outlets were not installed initially. But there'll be more lighting to... So right now, this can lighting just comes straight down. So if we move out of it, then you don't see us. Maybe you're okay with that. Maybe I should just stop there. But the trustees do intend to have some more lighting here on the platform. So praise the Lord. So we could talk tonight about the birth of Jesus, and there would absolutely be nothing wrong with that. We could talk about the wise men that came and bearing gifts, and there would be nothing wrong with that. Those things are certainly wonderful. Those things are certainly worthy of talking about. But if we want to focus this evening on the true meaning of Christmas, there are other things that we would want to meditate on. The great thing about Christmas is what took place later on, 33 years later on. What took place after he was born in a manger in the hills of Judea. From our text this evening, we find that there were certain Greeks, they'd heard about Jesus. And of course, they came to this feast and they came to find out if the things that they'd heard about this Jesus were true. They weren't coming to criticize. They weren't coming to find fault. Friends, if you come to criticize, if you come to find fault, that's exactly what you'll find. But they were coming, their hearts were burning. They hoped that these things were true. And they were coming to find out if these things were true. And if they were, they wanted to meet this Jesus. And they first came to one that knew Jesus. Now that's a pretty good approach, what do you think? If we want to find Jesus of the Word in our day, we'd also want to come to somebody that knows Him. We'd want to come to somebody that can say, this is the Jesus that you're looking for. There are all kinds of Jesuses that we're being pointed to, but there's only one true Jesus of the Bible. So why would we go to a critic or to an unbeliever to learn about Jesus? What are they going to tell us about Him? We couldn't, their motive isn't right. Their objective isn't right. Likewise, why would we go to a Buddhist to hear about Jesus? Or go to a New Ager? We'd want to go to somebody that has met Him personally. Somebody that knows Him. Somebody that we could have confidence in. That has met Him and can testify that He is the Jesus of the Bible. We'd want that person then to introduce us to Him. So these Greeks, they had the right approach. They went first to those that knew Him, and then they asked these that knew Him to introduce the Greeks to the Lord Jesus. Brother Branham says, and knowing that there was some God somewhere, and they had thousands of them that they worshiped, speaking of these Greeks. They heard of a historical God that had done great miracles among the Hebrews. And then they heard also that this God that used to be the miracle-working God, Hebrew God, was over there in their land with them again. So it attracted their attention. So they came to see Jesus. They wanted to meet this living God. They had statues everywhere. They had millions of them. But they wanted to meet one that was alive. He says, and notice, usually the way that people want to find Jesus is to find somebody who knows how to take them to Him. A leader or one of His servants is the way that they find Him. So Jesus, if He ever chooses a servant, He always chooses somebody that will bring the people to Him. Because it is His purpose to serve the people. Oh, I thank God that He still has servants like that today. I thank God that he had one servant that knew him, that was on a first name basis, that met him and remained at our level, didn't exalt himself, didn't deify himself, didn't make him the one that he was trying to introduce us to, but remained a faithful servant, told us the truth, told us his own faults, but then said, may I introduce you to this Jesus of the Bible. Again, he says, now we find that they were brought into his presence now, these Greeks, Philip. They had consulted Philip, and Philip said, now, here's someone that wants to see our Lord. So it wouldn't be just right for me to have the honor to introduce these Greeks to my Lord, so I'll go get Andrew to go with me. And so they went and they got Andrew. And Andrew and Philip both came and presented these Greeks to Jesus. So a servant, a true servant of God, will have a God-given ability to lead people to Jesus. To present them to Jesus. To bring them into fellowship with Jesus. To instruct them in the right approach. And many will not find the Jesus of the Bible this Christmas season. And it's simply because they don't have a servant of God who knows Jesus and has the ability to introduce them to the Jesus of the Bible. Oh, they can point you to a baby Jesus. Once again, friends, listen close. There's nothing wrong with talking about a baby in a manger. It's scriptural. It's factual. It's historical. But if that's all you do, all you've done is give a history lesson. So they can point you. There's many the world over that can point you to a baby Jesus that's laying in a manger. But a baby Jesus did not die for your sins. A baby Jesus does not fill you with the Holy Ghost. A baby Jesus cannot save you. So we don't want to leave Jesus in a manger. That's where he started, but that's not where he ended. What we want in 2019, and as we're about to go into 2020, what we want is to take him out of that manger and bring him to the point where the power was released so that we can benefit from it. Can somebody say amen? So a baby Jesus in a manger, oh, it'll make a nice Christmas card. It'll make a lovely Christmas card, but it won't save your soul. If that's all we do is bring people to a baby in a manger, we haven't gone far enough. Again, he says, disciples today, it's so much different. For today, they try to take you to a cradle or a manger or to a Santa Claus or to a bunny rabbit for Easter. Or something or another instead of Christ. They never did bring you in the presence of Christ. Oh, friends, that's the key. We can talk about Christmas. We can talk about a manger. But let's introduce people to the God that was in that manger. Hallelujah. They never did bring you in the presence of Christ. Christmas isn't Christ. No. Today they bring you some other place, to some statue, to some church, to some organization, to some doctrinal laws. But they never get you in the presence of Christ, in the presence of Jehovah. A real true disciple would bring you right straight in the presence of Christ. And from there, Christ would show you what you had to do. Oh, friends. I had an associate minister that was with us for a while, and I thought we were on the same page, but he had some hidden ideas, hidden beliefs. I still love that brother, but I sure didn't know the direction that he was going until he was going. But he stood right in the pulpit, and he said, my job is to get you to the message. My job is to introduce you to Brother Branham. If I've done that, once I've done that, my job is finished. And I thought, well, that's where my job just starts. Amen? Because my job is not to take you to a message. My job is not to take you, excuse me, my job is not to take you to Malachi 4. Although he's a critical part of this message. My job is to take you to the one that he's turning your heart to. My job is to introduce you to the Jesus of the Bible. Then my job is not all done, but it's mostly done. Because he will speak to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will keep you. He'll fill you with this very life. He'll make a Christian out of you. What a concept. It's amazing that we have to make statements like that. You sound like a fanatic. But things have gotten so wishy-washy that you can't call truth truth and lies lies. You can't call a man and a woman a woman. You can't, it's child abuse now if you tell your child you're a boy or you're a girl. You're supposed to leave it up to them and let them go by their feelings. And oh, what a bunch of confusion, friends. How many believe that he has genuine disciples today? If he doesn't, we're in trouble. This commission cannot be fulfilled. So what is the real meaning of Christmas? Is it lights? How many like lights? I do. I like the blue ones. You know, I have something about it. Feelings. I was with my sister and my brother-in-law yesterday. They're empty nesters now, and they're talking about they're selling their house, and they're going to move to England, and they think it's going to be storybook, and I'm sure it will be for a few weeks. I'm happy for him in one sense, but those things are, they don't last. The newness wears off, and so you need something that's going to last a little bit longer. But we got back together and had some nice fellowship, and we're thankful for the time that we had together, and we're praying that it'll open the door for a greater and deeper things. But you have to, you know, it's amazing that you have to get reintroduced to your own family members sometimes. And you have to win their confidence. If you don't win their confidence, it doesn't matter what you have to say. It doesn't matter what you believe. They're looking for life. So what is the real meaning of Christmas? Is it gifts? I thank you for the gifts, by the way. That's not a pull for more gifts, but I do thank you. I'm not giving them back. I appreciate it. But that's not the meaning of Christmas. Is it eating lots of food? Nothing wrong with eating lots of food. But you can do that any day, right? Just so happens that some of the best food is Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, whatever. Is it decorating a tree? I have no idea what that even means. It's pretty sometimes, till the cat gets to it, swallows some of the tinsel and then regurgitates it and mixed with cat food. What is the real meaning of Christmas? The real meaning is Jesus living. It's Jesus dying. It's Jesus raising again so that the gift of eternal life can be given for you and be given to you. That's the meaning of Christmas. So notice that they came and they followed a certain order, and God has an order to everything that he does. Again, he says the disciples today, it's a lot different from the disciples of old. Today, the disciples brings the speakers, or seekers rather. The disciples of old, they brought the seeker into the presence of God. And today, the disciples of the day bring them into the presence of some church organization, some affiliation, some creed, some doctrine, instead of bringing them into the presence of Christ. Let me bring it up further. You know, at this particular time, Brother Branham's speaking of the organizations. He's speaking of the denominations. But we can bring it updated People are bringing people to doctrines in our message instead of bringing them to Christ. We take the word Christmas. It's very seldom you hear Christ's name mentioned. You don't hear it mentioned. The lights and the tinsel, it's all on Santa Claus, not on Christ. The people hardly knows what Christmas really is for. They've just paganized it until it's all become pagan. It's a great commercial day of celebration. Now, if they want to make a commercial day like Mother's Day or Father's Day or Son's Day or Daughter's Day, that's all right. But keep the commercial off of Christmas. And I seen a sign not long ago said, put Christ back in Christmas. This is back in the 60s. He says, now they bring you to a church. You learn a creed. They bring you to a Christmas. And what do? You see a Santa Claus. They bring you to a church. You see an organization. But Christ brought them to the cross. Wow. Christ brought them to a cross. And when you get a real disciple that'll point you to Christ, Christ will bring you to a cross where you are crucified with him. And his eternal life and your life meet together, and your life dies, and you take on his eternal life, and then you're a son of God. Amen. What a difference from a disciple of old and the disciples of today. And the church said, well, they say Christmas is about gifts. I won't argue with that at all. It's about God's gift to man. Friends, we want to make sure that we're worshiping the Christ of Christmas. And we want to make sure that we don't lose him in all the commercialization and all the tinsel and all the wrapping and all the presents that we give to our children and all the other activities and all the turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce. And maybe you don't like that, but the pie. All the things that are associated with Christmas these days. My grandson wore a t-shirt here a couple of years ago, and I liked it so much I took a picture of it and shared it with other people, but it was talking about the meaning of Thanksgiving. And on the shirt it said, Thanksgiving, it's family and pie. I thought, amen. Nothing wrong with that at all. But we couldn't say that about Christmas. There's nothing. We enjoy our families. We want to rejoice together. We want to spend time together. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as Christ is in the middle of it. As long as he's the thief. Eat all the pie you want. As long as you left an open seat for him to join you. Let him be the theme of your Christmas. Pageants are fine. Cantatas are fine. Pinatas are fine. Songs are fine. But there are more angels coming down to minister to the elect of God, to those that are the recipients of this life, to watch over them than there were on that day that he was born in a manger. These angels have come to minister to those that have met the true Jesus Christ of Christmas. To those that he came to live for, and those that he came to die for, and those that he came to impart his life for. The heirs of salvation. So the question to each of us this evening is, could we lead people today to the true Jesus Christ of Christmas? To the true meaning of Christmas. Could we do that? You'll never do it by calling them pagans. Our church doesn't have anything. Well, it's all from hell. Really. You'll never do it by acting holier than thou. Touch not, taste not, want not. And you won't do it by bringing him to all the trappings of the things that are associated today with Christmas. Once again, there's nothing essentially wrong with some of the things, the food and the carols and the family, and nothing fundamentally wrong with those things. It's just that that's not Christ. You're not bringing them, and it's supposed to be about him. Christ Mass, duh. Christmas, duh. That's why they put X-mas. At least they're being honest. Those that call it Xmas, at least they're being honest. And excuse me, you can't bring him to the Christ of Christmas. You can't bring him to the true meaning of Christmas by bringing him to a church creed, a favorite doctrine. So you as Christians, can you lead them? Can you lead other people to the Lord Jesus? The songs we sing around Christmas, what's the theme of these songs? Is it, oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, or stink bomb, or some other kind of bomb? We don't even know what those words mean. That's another language. Is it Frosty the Snowman? Jingle bells? What in the world does that have to do with Christ? If we bring people to Christ, Christ will bring them to the cross, where you must be crucified with him. He will bring you to eternal life. He will bring you to an overcoming life. Now, just how important was Jesus' birthday to himself? Did he get depressed when nobody remembered his birthday? Well, it'd be kind of strange if he did, because he never told us when his birthday was. He never mentioned it one time. It was so important to him that he never told us when it was. And he pouted that time. So you knew when it was because he was pouting that time, you know. Because nobody recognized his birthday. Nothing wrong with birthdays, friends. But what we want to focus on is importance. It was so important that the apostles never once mentioned his birthdays. We have no record of what day he was born. Historians never mention his birthday. Peter never preached it. So what's the issue here? The issue is the true meaning of Christmas gets watered down to the place that it's lost in all of these other things. You know, the devil's slick. Wouldn't you agree today that we don't want to leave out the true meaning of Christmas from Christmas? I mean, if we're going to talk about Christmas at all, shouldn't we talk about the true meaning? Once again, we're grateful for family time. Go spend time with your family. I plan on it. After I get over the fact they all abandoned me, I'm going to stalk them. Me and my wife will have a lovely day together and look forward to it. So we're grateful for family time, and we're certainly grateful for pie. We're grateful for gifts. You're a liar if you say you don't like gifts. We're grateful for the fellowship. We're grateful for the time off of work. But we don't want to leave the Christ of Christmas out of Christmas. A Methodist will bring you to a Methodist doctrine. A Baptist will bring you to a Baptist doctrine. A Pentecostal will bring you to a Pentecostal doctrine. A message person will bring you to their favorite doctrine, or to their favorite person, or their favorite church. Listen, friends, whether I know anything about Joseph Branham or not has nothing to do with my walk with Christ. That's not a criticism of Joseph Branham. It's just that it's not essential. I'd done met Jesus before I even heard of Joseph. How do you like that? Or before I met you either. And I appreciate and love you very much. But a disciple will bring you to the Christ of Christmas. Sirs, we would see Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. The real Jesus of the Bible. The Rem says, the Greeks wanted to see Jesus. He never found him in Christmas. He never found him in some organization. You won't find him today in an organization. Let me just go ahead and flatten you. You won't find him at Love Divine Fellowship. That's not where you'll find him. You'll find him in his word. Never found him in some creed. He never pointed them to such. Have you got that well? But he pointed them to a cross to die. To die. A real disciple says, you've got to die. Christmas is all about a birth. But the real meaning of Christmas is a death. So we got it backwards. We got the emphasis backwards. And there is an emphasis placed on his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We come together every week to honor the resurrection. That's how important it is. But he pointed them to the cross to die, to die. A real disciple says, you've got to die. How do I know when I'm dead? Well, you smell. When you recognize all this word to be the truth, then the word begins to live in you. You die out to yourself and you receive Christ the word, and he reveals himself to you through his word. Well, you say, but our church teaches. You know, why is it that we can see this in the message, but yet we want to apply it to denominations? What good would that do? We're not in the denominations. The denominations have crept in. Every revival produces twins. There's a mixed multitude at every exodus. But our church teaches. He says, I don't care what your church teaches. It's what the Bible says. Where are you going to? The other churches teaches something different. But this Bible teaches the same. So these Greeks, they came to Jesus, and he gave them a Christmas card, right? Signed it, said, look, I'll personally put my name on there, and you can treasure this, hang it on the wall, show everybody that you got my autograph. Merry Christmas. No, they came to him, and he said to them, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. Merry Christmas. What kind of an introduction is this? It's the right kind. Oh, friends, I hope somebody's listening tonight. Do you realize they came and they shook hands with his flesh? They met the man and they never met Jesus. They never met the true meaning of Christmas. They didn't meet Christ. He told them, this is how you'll meet me. Except a corn of wheat. Fall into the ground and die. It abideth alone. So I've got to die. You've got to die. And then when I come up and give you my life, you'll meet me then. If you don't, you can shake my hand all you want. You'll still go straight to hell. We want to know him after the flesh. He wants us to know him after his word. Oh, God help us. They met him, and yet they hadn't seen Jesus yet. Isn't that amazing? His flesh would be changed. So even meat in the flesh doesn't count too much. It's not even going to be the same flesh in a little while. But we always want to know someone after the flesh. That's where we get into so much trouble with churches. People come to church and they want to know the church after the flesh. And then all their problems have to do with flesh. But if you came to meet the Word, if you came to meet the true meaning of Christmas, if you came to meet the true Jesus of the Bible, it doesn't matter what happens. Your eyes are not on the flesh, but your eyes are on the Word, and He won't disappoint. He won't leave you hanging. He won't disappoint you. So a real disciple will say, if you want to meet Him, you're going to have to die first. You can't stay the way you are and meet Him. I want to meet Him. Well, there's going to have to be some changes. What kind of changes? You got to die. Die to what? Everything. Your ideas. Your past. Your lust. Your desires. Your confidence in yourself. Your church. Your friends. You just got to die. You got to rot. That's why there aren't too many new births. People, they'll go most of the way, but they won't go all the way. You got to die completely. You got to completely let go of the wheel. If your hand's still on the wheel, you're not dead. You'll jerk the wheel at the last moment. You got to be dead so He can grab the wheel. Once He grabs the wheel, it's not in your hands anymore. He says, not if you go to the cradle and say, a little baby was born here long years ago. Nonsense. All kinds of creeds and fables told about it. We know Jesus knowed all that thing would perish and get all mixed up. But there's one thing that isn't mixed up, and that's the Holy Spirit. We've been to the place that He was born. What did it do for you? Did it change you? Guess what? You haven't been there. Well, it didn't change me. Why would it change you? If going to the place that He was born or going to the place that He died had any value at all, we'd have tours. Oh God, help us. Help us to look beyond the wrapping tonight and find the real gift. Men always want to point you to a relic. Somebody's been to Israel. One of the things that you notice right off the bat is every place that something supposedly took place, there's a church. And a money box. And somebody lording over it. How many pieces, how many splinters can you pull off the cross after all? About as many clippings of Brother Branham's one sheet. Twin bed sheet. We found some new ones that were up in the attic. Why are they so white? I don't care if they've been up in the attic. I don't care if they're new. If they're 30 years old, they're going to change color a little bit. Well, it's the ends justify the means. We're just trying to help people. Foolish. Friends, I don't want to take you to a bed sheet or a piece of trousers. Nothing wrong with those things. But I'd rather bring you to the God that He knew. If you want a cloth, we'll pray over one, okay? Oh, but that wouldn't be the same. Why not? It's the same Jesus. Same principle. Same faith. We appreciate gifts. How many appreciates gifts? Thank you for being honest. And we thank you for your giving. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your expressions of love, sincerely. But the real gift of Christmas is the Christ of Christmas. We sing it. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. But how many people mean it? I believe you do. I'm not. But I'm just throwing it out there. Just generally speaking. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Till Christmas comes. Now notice, Jesus never said, "Oh, okay, fellas, tell you what, we're going to go on a little trek. We're going to go on a little trip back to my birthplace, and I'll show you where I was born, and I'll show you where I played, and you know, I'll show you where this took place or that took place." He never asked a church to be built over the place where the stable was at. He never even mentioned it. He didn't place the value on his birth. He placed the value on his death. It was his death that purchased something for us. All men have been born, but only one died and then lifted up his life. Only one was worthy. So death is the entrance to eternal life. So in order for us to bring people to life, we have to bring them to death. Without a death, there can't be life. But the world wants to point to all these other things rather than dying out to ourselves. So you see the point here. Brother Branham was not, he wasn't criticizing necessarily the things that take place around Christmas. What he was criticizing was that Christ was left out of all of it. That the emphasis was not on Christ. So we swung the pendulum, many of us. We went way to the other side. Well, it's pagan. I heard Brother Branham say it was pagan. And bless God, he wasn't born in December. Bless God, hallelujah, glory to God. That's a Roman this, and that's a... And yet we still celebrate our birthdays. How's that any different? That's Roman too. And nothing against that either. But, you know, just be fair. You're going to throw one birthday out, throw yours out too. Oh, well, that's a different story now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to somehow make this scriptural. He ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. I'm a gift to you. There was a star that appeared in the sky when I was born. That's true. Probably don't know which one it was. Just hope it wasn't one of them fallen stars. He never asked that we, you know, above all things, make sure you emphasize my birth. How many's listen? How many realize what we're trying to do is just strip away so that we can see what's important? If you can emphasize the Christ of Christmas and spend time with your family, do it. If you can do that and have pumpkin pie, do it. If you can do that and eat tamales, do it. But don't leave him out. We can do all the things surrounding Christmas and still go to hell if we miss the true meaning of Christmas. He didn't give a tip later on. He didn't come back, find out who the stable owner was and give him a tip and mention his name and put a plaque there and make a monument. We didn't even know who the stable owner was. There was no gift given to the one that carried him into the, laid him down in the grave. The wrapping wasn't fancy paper. It was so simple. God wrapped himself. Can we agree to that tonight? God wrapped himself in such a simple way that many missed the gift completely because of the simplicity of the wrapping. Some of the greatest messages I've ever heard are the most simple messages. And there are things that I've looked at and looked at and looked at and never saw. Then all of a sudden, bing, there it is. You're like, wow. That's what makes it so great, is that it's so simple and it's hidden in plain view. So the wrapping wasn't fancy, and so many missed the gift of God that came down to the earth. It was so simple, it was overlooked. But that package was opened later on when it was nailed to a tree. It wasn't placed under a tree, it was placed on a tree. And it was then that the Christmas present from God was released to the church. So God hides himself and then he reveals himself as he sees fit. So his birth did not reveal to us what was in the package. If it did, I challenge you to tell me, what was it that revealed what was in the package? A baby laying in a manger? You've seen your own kid laying in a manger. Well, maybe not a manger, a cradle. Right? It was important. He had to be born. It was necessary even. You say, well, it was the fact that he was born of a virgin. You had no proof. You had to accept that. But there was no evidence. There was no proof. And you knowing that still didn't change you. Right? It wasn't until he was torn apart at Calvary. It wasn't until the gift was opened. It wasn't until the wrapping was stripped off. It wasn't until God himself tore it open, tore off the wrapping, that what was in the mystery of the gift was made known to us. The mystery of the package was released and revealed to us. It was a mystery to the disciples that walked with him. He said, you know, I'm saying all these things to you, but you're not getting it. You can't get it. He says, but when I leave, it's better for you that the package leaves so that what's in the package can come back. But if I leave, then what was in the box is going to come back. And I will teach you the things that I've taught you. Sounds like double speak. All the things I've been talking to you, you're not getting, I'll teach it to you. I will come and I won't be with you this time. I'll be in you. I'll reveal it to you personally. Christ, the mystery of the package revealed. Again, he says, now Jesus never said now he's going to bring them to Bethlehem. Jesus never said to the Greeks when they come up, now, just a moment. If you want to see it, I'll take you back to Bethlehem where I was born. And I'll tell you how it happened back there. It wasn't that. He pointed them to a future place if they wanted to know him. He was telling them, look, you want to see Jesus. You want to meet him. I'm going to tell you, here's how you're going to meet him. Here he is standing there talking to him. He's like, you're not meeting me. You can't meet me as it is right now. But here's how you can meet me. Oh, God. You know, we beat on ourselves. We think, man, I got gypped. I got left out. Why couldn't I have walked with him? Greater is he that has not seen him, that has not seen these things, and yet you believe. Because he's made himself real to you in a way that he didn't to his disciples. It didn't help Peter at all to know him after the flesh. Peter denied the Lord. Peter cursed. Peter did all kinds of things. Look at what Judas did. And all of them knew Jesus. But they didn't know Jesus. Not yet. He didn't beat them up for it either, because he knew that there had to be a greater condescension. And there had to be a revealing. He pointed them to a future place if they wanted to know him. If you want to know me, in other words, I won't take you back and tell you when I was born at Bethlehem and all about that. I'll point you to a place where I'm going to be crucified for you. And it is there, if you'll be crucified with me and take up your cross and follow me, you'll know who I am. But not until. You'll know who I am. Otherwise, from that, you'll never learn it through your ancient arts. You'll never. Well, you say, Brother Branham, but we learn it through the art of the Bible. No, we don't. If we learn it through the art of the Bible, then why didn't the Pharisees have it? It isn't learned through the art of the Bible, because we've got too many artists trying to paint it. But the Bible is right. God is the artist. Again, he says, but look, as soon as they were brought into his presence, that's the main thing, get the people in his presence. And as soon as in his presence, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. They had to hear the word. What an unusual thing. Instead of accepting their introduction, the thing he done was pointed them to a place that they could find him. Oh, isn't that powerful? I know that you want to meet me, so I'm going to show you where you'll meet me. Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. What did he do here? He pointed them to that great truth, how to see him. They could not see him in the way of eternal life. Just standing there the way he was. He was a man. You could look upon him, you couldn't see eternal life. You could see attributes of it. You could see manifestations of it, but you could not yourself say, I've seen eternal life. But he told them how they could see it. They touched him. Think about it. John talks about it. He said, we handled him, we touched him. But then he says, the word of life. So they handled him, they touched him. But they still hadn't found him. But he told them how to find him. Many love him today. And they still don't know him. Many are in love with their imagination. Many are in love with their idea. You know, kind of like a mail order bride. People get in their minds of what she's like or what he's like, and they imagine it. And then when they meet that mail order bride, well, we'll just leave it there. Many claim to love him. They'll cry big tears and you can't convince them otherwise. They love Jesus. But they've never met the corn of wheat that can birth them by his very own life. Again, he says, the Greeks wanted to see him. They wanted to know his person. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Now, you don't see with your eyes. You understand with your heart. That's how you see him. To see is to understand. You look right at something and you say, I don't see it. But you're looking at it. But what you mean is, I don't understand it. The Greeks wanted to know Jesus. And he gave them the way to know him. To know him, not to know his creed. Not to know his word or the printed page. Not to know his miracles. But to know him. And the only way you can find that is at the cross. Not at the cradle. No, it's the cross. Nothing wrong with the cradle, friends. Cradle was necessary. Nothing wrong with telling the story. It's in the Bible. But bring people to the cross. You can know the Bible. You can know the message. And still not know him. You must know him. Again, he says the Greeks wanted to see him. They wanted to know his person. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Now, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your heart. See, you look with your eyes, you understand with your heart. To see, to understand, you look right at something and you say, I don't see it, but you're looking at it, but you mean you don't understand it. The Greeks wanted to know Jesus. They wanted to know him, not to know his creed, not to know his word, the printed page, not to know his miracles, but to know him. And the only way you can find that is at the cross. How many can say amen to that? Not at the cradle. No, sir, it's at the cross. So the real meaning of Christmas is found 33 years later. But it's not found under a tree. It's found on a tree. He says, take like the wheat. You say, well, how could one grain of wheat? Here's what happens. One grain falls in. It brings forth 100 grains. 100 grains falls in. It brings forth 1,000 grains. 1,000 grains falls in. And it brings forth 1,000,000 grains. 1,000,000 grains falls in. And it brings forth a barge load. And on and on and on until it feeds the whole world. That's what he meant. If I live my life alone and die this way and just live my life alone, well, then there'll be no fruit after me. But if I fall into the ground under the will of God, I'll bring forth a new birth. And in that new birth, I'll bring forth another with a new birth and another with a new birth. And the whole world will be missionaried and gospel preached. This gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness unto me. These signs shall follow them that believe. So we must introduce them to the true Christ of Christmas and the true meaning of Christmas. Again, he says, so if we ourselves then in our ministry and in our thoughts and in our life, if we abide as we are, we can do no good. We've got to also die at the altar, or we'll live alone. We'll live to some denomination or to some creed. We'll live to some organization. But if we die to ourselves, then the Holy Spirit will spread forth everywhere by our lips. We've got to die. So many today, he says, so is it like now, that if we must realize that we've got to die in order to bring forth new life. So he said so much in this, if you want to see me, you must die. Die to yourself, and then you'll bring forth a new life. So many struggle for the life, but they don't realize they haven't died yet. If you die, there's no more struggle. How can you say that? Because I struggled. And when I stopped struggling, he said, see how simple it is? I just let go. And then he came. Oh, but that was just special for you. Don't be a Baptist. It's special for every son and daughter of God. You must be born again. You must have that life. This same corn of wheat is living again today. Don't stumble over it, friends. It's living in another body. It's the same life. And if that life is in a body, it won't say, push, play, and obey. Oh, you'll push, play, but then you'll obey what the guy on the tape says. The guy on the tape says, well, don't stay home. If there's a church, go to it. He said it'll come to a place where we can't wait for those church doors to open so we can push, play. It's not what he said. I can't believe that people even believe the things that they claim to believe. But I've been around long enough. I started out in the denominations and I saw how they believed the nonsense that they believe. And it's just nonsense. We're Baptist. We're going to make it. You're not Baptist. You won't make it. I didn't believe that then. I don't believe it now. I thought, well, how did I get lucky to be born into a Baptist family? And then I had a Presbyterian friend that was a lot better person than I was. And I thought, well, how come he's going to miss it? He lives better than I do. It's nonsense, friends. You got to meet him. You meet him, we'll all be saying the same thing. It's not a matter of us finding the right leader to bring us together. Well, actually, in a way it is. But he's that right leader. It's one voice. And if he's in you, you'll say amen. Now, I've had that used on me like a sledgehammer many times. Well, if you're a believer, you'll say amen. And then they throw out their little doctrine. And you sit there and you don't say amen. They think, okay, mm-hmm. You're not a believer. You're right. I'm not a believer in your doctrine. But I'm a believer in him. And he got to me before you did. And I'd love to fellowship with you. And I'll do everything I can to keep peace between us. But if I got to leave him to be with you, it ain't going to happen. Keep your emotions in check here tonight. I know many of us have families that emphasize tapes, but many of us have families that emphasize Pentecost or emphasize Baptist or emphasize Catholic or politics, yeah. Right? It's all nonsense. Let's emphasize him. Well, look at what you're doing. All I'm trying to do is emphasize Christ of Christmas. He's the only one that's going to keep us straight. I've had people come up to me, Brother Baker, it just bothers me. You just put so much confidence in yourself. You stand there and you say you're not going to fall away, and you stand there and say he's going to keep you, and you stand there and this and that and the other. You're missing what I'm saying. I'm not talking about myself. I'm dead. He's going to keep me. I can't keep myself. I died, remember? I can't do it. That's why I died. I said, I can't do it. He said, finally, you've come to that realization. But I can, he says. And I trust him. He that started this work will finish it. I haven't fallen away. I won't fall away. Oh, I heard that. Twang. I'm not putting confidence here. My confidence is there. And if he can't keep me, he's not worth serving. If he can't keep me, he's a liar. He's not a liar. He said he would keep me. He said he would lead me. He said he would guide me. He said he would seal me until the day of my redemption. How many can say amen to that? But if you're not born again, you'll have trouble with that. Again, he says, Christmas is not mentioned in the book of the Bible. In the entire book of the Bible. Now, the rapture isn't either, so but the point is, I mean, come on, friends. We know the emphasis that's placed on Christmas. A heavy emphasis, right? If we're going to emphasize something, let's emphasize the Christ of Christmas. Because that is mentioned in the Bible from cover to cover. Never one time did Jesus refer them to his birth, but to his death. He said, glad to meet you, except a corn of wheat die. Not one time did Jesus ever say, join a church. Not one time did he ever say, recite a creed. But he said, come unto me. You know, there's probably many of us here that had some sparse Christmases growing up. I know I did. And I know I had several Christmases where I got underwear and socks and, you know, school clothes. And, And I don't look back on that and say I got gypped or cheated, and, you know, while my friends are driving around on a big wheel or hot wheel or whatever it was. And sure, you know, all kids want to have a little bit more and want to have toys or whatever. But, you know, the fact that I got those clothes, it was a good thing. I mean, we needed it, right? My parents tell me stories of how if they got a piece of fruit for Christmas, that was a big deal, you know. You couldn't, you know, back in the 30s and what have you, you know, they didn't have supermarkets. They didn't have, they weren't importing stuff from all over the world like they are now. And, you know, if it wasn't whatever, if it wasn't February, you couldn't get oranges, you know. Well, at least that's when it ripens here in Tucson. I don't know when it ripens other places. You got strawberries when it was strawberry season. And only if it, usually if it grew around where you were at. So to get fruit out of season was a big deal. So many of us probably, you know, if I told you some woe is me, I was talking with my sister and brother-in-law, and I said, yeah, you know, one of my kids, they put this picture up, and it showed these guys that are like climbing up Mount Everest, and you know, they got all their gear on, and they got their ropes and all that, and the message said, apparently, this is how my parents went to school. And I walked those 10 miles, snow up to here. But you know, the thing is, no matter how bad, no matter what story that you can come up with how bad it was, somebody's always had it worse than you. So, probably many of us that had some sparse Christmases at times, and maybe some other families felt sorry for you and helped you out. And I know my wife's case, my father-in-law having a union type job, and they'd go on strike or there wouldn't be work in the winter or whatever, and they actually had some dear friends that pitched in and helped out to make their Christmas a little nicer. And of course, we've got these organizations, you know, Toys for Tots, and you know, there's no end to generosity, and we appreciate that, and it's a wonderful thing. But the thing is, I don't care if it was the best thing on the market or if it was something used, everything you get for Christmas wears out. Well, I got one amen, and I got one right. Right?
Yeah.
Think back of the best gift that you ever got. Still got it? Still got that racetrack with the little cars? And still got that bike? Still have those roller skates? How about those clothes? No, you don't want them back. Well, maybe they're retro now. Maybe they're in style. I hope not. Those velour shirts and oh my. But this gift never wears out. This is an eternal gift. Jesus never emphasized his human side. He didn't talk about, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. He didn't talk about his ganglias or arthritis or blisters on his feet from walking. He didn't actually want people to know him after the flesh. Instead, he said, how do you do? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. Merry Christmas. Sirs, we would see Jesus. What would a modern Jesus look like? Well, I just asked you the wrong question. Who cares what he would look like? It's not what he looks like. It's what he is. He's the Word. So a modern, the true Jesus in our day would match his Word. Now let's just fast forward here for just a moment and we'll pull over. So we say the true meaning of Christmas is Christ on the cross. Well, what did they see at the cross? They saw God's wrapped gift nailed to a tree. And you know what? Many of them cried at the cross when they saw that package being ripped open, the paper being ripped, the flesh being torn. Many of them cried when they saw the life leaving his body. And everyone that cried and everyone that was sorrowful missed God's gift. Well, you'll get it here in just a moment. Because what was being released was the gift that was sent to the earth. And this is the only way that it could be released. And it was God's great love that caused it to be ripped open so that that life could be released. The mystery of the gift was revealed. It wasn't a time of sadness. But if we were to look at the pictures that the artists would paint, that the preachers would preach, it's the saddest story you ever heard. It's hopeless. It's dark. And we're left feeling sorry for him. And some people say, okay, I'll give my heart to Jesus because I feel sorry for him. And I feel sorry for what he did. And I feel sorry for all that he took upon himself. But the real mystery was what was being released from the package that was on the tree. God tore open that package. Blood was running everywhere. It was a mess. Isn't that how Christmas is? Think about it, friends. The little ones amongst us, maybe some of us bigger ones, we get a hold of that package, we can't wait to open it. So what do? And you're saying to little, well, wait, you're going to tear up the gift. Wait a minute, let's make sure that we know who it was from. Who cares who it's from? I don't know what goes through my wife's mind sometimes. She's got such a giving heart and a giving spirit, but she goes to the store and buys these little things. She brought this little present that the 1.5-year-old's going to open on Christmas. And, you know, it's got one of these things you push on it and it talks to you and makes some annoying noises. And so it starts doing it and he's going like this. And then he pushes it again. And, you know, I can take about 3 of those. After that, I'm done. Okay, time out. We're done. Not him. Well, there were some tears when she took it away from him. It's not Christmas yet. It's got to be wrapped. And what was you thinking? I'm just glad I won't be there Christmas morning when it comes open. I done determined I want to be in another room. But the joy, the excitement. Oh, They just can't wait to get that thing torn open. It's a joyous time. Now, how can you speak like that about the cross? For the joy he endured. For the joy. For the joy. For the joy. The mystery of God was about to be revealed. The gift was about to come into plain view. Yeah. The proof of what was in the package was about to be manifested. Because in that package was eternal life. In that package was overcoming life. Friends, if it wasn't for that, how can... Listen. Let's just say you're one of those critics that wants to come to me and say, how can you say those things about you and whatever. Let me turn it around. If that's you tonight, let me turn it around. Those that overcome are granted to sit with him in his throne, even as he also overcame and is seated in his Father's throne. So what are you going to overcome? Whatever comes your way. Wow, that's... How can you talk that way? Because I'm an overcomer. Well, aren't you putting confidence in yourself? No, I've got overcoming power. I've got eternal life. And the life that's living in me now will do what it did before. He said so. In for a penny, in for a pound. I'm either going to believe everything he said or I'm not going to believe it at all. He said he would give me that overcoming power. He said that he would give me that life. He said that I would be a partaker of that life. He said that I would never perish, but I would have that eternal life. He said that he would keep me. He would abide with me and even in me. He'd lead me. He'd guide me. I'm just bragging on him tonight, friends. In case you haven't noticed, my confidence is completely in him. We say, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. What are you talking about? Same thing I'm talking about. Give me Jesus. If I got him, I can overcome all things. I can do nothing in myself, but with Christ, I can overcome all things. How many can say amen to that tonight? Then he ascended on high. And what did Paul tell us? He gave gifts unto men. Where did we find those gifts? Well, we found them on another tree. This tree is a bride tree. We found individuals that make up that body. And we found that that life was placed into those individuals. God wrapped. God, he re-gifted. Is that okay? A gift that keeps on giving. He re-gifted, but he didn't re-gift because, a lot of people re-gift it. They just be honest. Well, I hate that thing, or it's three times my size, or three times under my size, or whatever it might be. But this is a gift that keeps on giving. This is a gift. It's the same life coming back in a many-membered body. Amen. Amen. I apologize to our translator. I've got just a couple of statements I'm going to read and I'll pull over it. You don't have it, so I'll just go slow. I'm sorry. Brother Bram says, but he's lost in their creeds and in their crowds. He is lost. Christ is lost in the commercial crowd. The commercial crowd is saying, we got to celebrate Christmas. Lady said the other day, standing there, when wife and I was standing there, said, I bought my dad a quart of whiskey. The other one said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to get my dad. I'm going to get him some cards and some chips. And we'll play strip poker. You see, we'll celebrate Christmas. Others say, well, I just got a carton of cigarettes for mom. What did you get here? Oh, God. He is lost. They lost him in Christmas. They lost him in Easter. A bunny rabbit or a new hat, not the resurrection, not the birth of Christ. They lost him in their creeds when they made three gods out of him, chopped him to pieces and made idols instead of knowing who he is. I and my Father are one. You lost him. He's lost in their religious crowd. How did the religious crowd... He is lost to his church in the Laodicea. The last church age. He said it was on the, he was on the outside of the church, knocking, trying to get in. The most pathetic sight in all the Bible is the condition of the church in the last days, just before he comes. Not another church age ever put him out. They didn't know any different. Now, when they really know the true power of the Holy Ghost, they kicked him out of the place. This is in the message. They know the true power of the Holy Ghost, and they're kicking him out. They kicked him out of place, on the outside, knocking at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Sure. They lost him in their commercial crowds. They lost him in their religious crowds. That's right. They made creeds out of it. They made denominations out of it. They lost it. They took the ritual instead of the Bible. They took a bunch of men's ideas instead of what God said. They said, put your name on a book. Shake hands. Well, them shaking hands with Jesus didn't help them. Shake hands. That's all you have to do. Be baptized. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The whole thing is false. That's right. There is where the church crowd lost him. When they lost him. Why? Not in their church buildings. Not in their, what you call it, their group of people. But they lost him when they left the Word. How many can say amen to that? If you abide in me and my Word abide in you, ask what you will. It'll be given to you. It'll be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Because it's God made flesh again. Ye abide in me and my word in you. Then just ask what you will and it'll be done for you. That's right. That's it. But today they're not abiding. They're this day a Methodist. Tomorrow they're a Baptist. The next day they're a Presbyterian. And they ain't got nowhere yet. If my word abide in you and the word was made flesh... And dwell among us. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. The Christ of Christmas. You love him tonight? Amen. Of course you do. He's everything to us, friends. We want everyone to know him. We need to be careful when we present the Christ of Christmas to others. That we don't make him complicated. Well, you know, here's some real deep, enticing doctrine. Just introduce him to him. Tell him what he's done for you. Tell him how he changed your life. Tell him how he turned your frown into a smile. Tell him how he saved your soul. Tell him how that the hopelessness left you. The confusion. The fear. Oh, friends, we got so much that we can talk about. Just tell them about the Christ of Christmas. What he means to you. What he's done for you. We don't have to preach a big sermon. We don't have to hand out a booklet. Nothing wrong with those things, but it's so much simpler than that. I wonder how many people in our city don't really know anything about Christ, but yet they know everything about Christmas. What a scandal. What a trick of the devil. Bring people so close and yet so far. My prayer is people would see Jesus. Let them see him. Let the living word be revealed to those that come across our path. Let us be ready to give an account of the hope of joy that's within us. If there's something there, friends, you don't have to. See, we don't have to sweat that. I'm nervous and I'm afraid. You don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be afraid. If there's something in there to receive it, they'll pull it out of you. You'll actually think, I wasn't actually going to say anything about that, but now that you asked, right? How many's had that experience? Amen. If they're not pulling it out of you, just let them see Jesus. Let them see the Christ of Christmas. Friends, if you've got a family member that says, push, play, and obey, don't argue with them. Well, I'm going to try and convince them. You're not going to convince anybody. Let them see what's living in you. If they meet an arguer, then they're going to think, well, you're no different than I am. We're both just arguers. Let them see the life. Praise the Lord. And we all have family members that are, my family members just don't happen to be in the message. But they're no different. If your family members know something about the message, that doesn't make them any different than mine that don't know anything about the message. Or I shouldn't say don't know anything, they do. They want us to pray for them when they get in trouble. So they know that something's got a hold of us. They know that He's a prayer answering God. They have confidence in our prayers. And if we would have argued with them, they wouldn't be asking for our prayers. Amen. Do you love them? I already asked you that, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Say, God bless you. Well, you're breaking order here. I ain't breaking nothing. Let the love be shed abroad here. And then take it out there. Amen. The musicians that make their way up tonight. I really like the sound in here. And I have to tell you, I like the atmosphere here too. Amen. We're going to have some meetings here. We've been brought through the other side of a trial. And now we're going to see the blessings. We're going to see lives. And we're ready for it. We're ready. As individuals and as a body. Amen. Oh my. Hallelujah. Come on up. I was trying to think of a Christmas song that's got Christ in it. And we've sang some, but my mind just... Hallelujah. In a tiny, simple stable, all beaten and worn, hardly a place for a king to be born. He didn't choose some place special to reveal His majesty. So I know if I'll give Him control, He'll be born in me. You can pick a different key if you like. I'm okay with it. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Let it live in me. Let it start. Inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Outwardly I'm nothing, not much to behold. Unlikely a place for His shield my vessel. Let